You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast, encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit.
Hello, David Diga Hernandez here, and I am now continuing with my eternity series. You know, it could happen at any moment. We don't have any clue when this can occur. It can happen tomorrow. It can happen a week from now. The scripture says that in the twinkling of an eye, Christ will call unto his bride, the church, and we will be raptured to meet the Lord in the air and be with him forever. I'm talking about the rapture here. There are major moments that take place in the history of the world. It begins with creation. This is where God speaks all things into existence. Then there is the giving of the law. Then there is the crucifixion of Jesus or the cross. Then there is the resurrection of Jesus, the birth of the church, the rapture, the tribulation, the return of Christ in the battle of Armageddon, the judgment of nations, the millennial reign, the release of Satan and the final battle, and the final judgment. This is the order in which I believe the scripture says all things occur. Now, as I've said in previous weeks, when you begin to study the afterlife and how the unbeliever and the believer experience the afterlife in different ways, you're also somewhat forced into studying the end times because all of these things tie in together. So where we are on that timeline, we've obviously experienced the creation of the world. We're here. The giving of the law, that's the Old Testament, the cross of Christ. We believe our sins have been forgiven because of what Christ did for us. The resurrection of Jesus has occurred. The birth of the church has taken place. And I believe now we're in that church age. What's up next on the timeline is the rapture of the church. And the reason I want to talk about the rapture is because this is where a lot of the confusion comes from. When people begin to talk about the rapture of the church and the dead in Christ arising, that starts to muddy the timeline a little bit because we wonder, well, where do I go when I die if the dead in Christ aren't raised until the rapture of the church? So we're going to look at the scriptures here and hopefully bring some clarity to this idea. So keep in mind that all believers who die go on to receive glorified bodies upon said death. Remember that there are three judgments that take place and two resurrections. The judgment of the believer and the resurrection of the believer is ongoing. It's been occurring for a long time and it will continue to go on, though there are some key moments that take place in the church's timeline. So what I'm saying is that when a believer dies, they're instantly facing the Lord in judgment. And they face judgment, obviously, in a different way that the unbeliever faces judgment, but they stand before Christ nonetheless. And it is at that point that they receive a glorified body. So when does that occur? That happens at the death of every single believer. Keep in mind also that once you exit this realm and enter into eternity, the timeline starts to become skewed because a few years here on earth can be just a millisecond up there and so forth. So keep in mind that the timeline can become confusing once you start talking about matters of eternity. So a large group of believers will go on to receive their new bodies at the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17 say, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died." Verse 16, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 52 through 55 say, "It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then When our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Now, here is where some of the confusion comes. Let's take a look at this verse here. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Now, there are many different translations that word this in many different ways, but this simply means that they go to receive their new bodies before we do. Now, some have understood this to mean that while we're here upon the earth, everyone who has died is still waiting to receive their new bodies. But again, upon death, that's when the believer receives their new body. Think about Moses and Elijah. They already had new glorified bodies when the disciples saw them standing with Jesus. Matthew chapter 17, verse 3 says, "Suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus." Now, again, the dead in Christ shall rise first does not mean that they've yet to receive their new bodies. It simply means that they receive their new bodies first. In fact, the dead in Christ are already perfected and complete. Hebrews chapter 12. "No, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God Himself, who is the judge over all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven, who have now been made perfect." Paul knew that death was the completion of the believer. Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23 say, "For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between the two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which will be far better for me." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8 say, "For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God Himself and not by human hands." So I'm just going to stop reading that portion there for a second. Right there, the scripture makes it very clear that upon death, the believer receives his new body. The scripture goes on to say, "We grow weary in our present bodies, and we long to put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. For we will put on heavenly bodies. We will not be spirits without bodies. While we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God Himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, He has given us His Holy Spirit. So we are always confident, even though we know that as long as we live in these bodies, we are not at home with the Lord. For we live by believing and not by seeing. Yes, we are fully confident, and we would rather be away from these earthly bodies, for then we will be at home with the Lord." So the scripture makes it again 100% clear that upon death, the believer receives a new body. So what about these scriptures that describe the dead in Christ rising first? Well, again, you have to remember that once you step into eternity, the timeline becomes skewed because that is outside of the bounds of times. If 1,000 years pass here on earth, it could be just like a day up there in heaven. In fact, the scripture alludes to that point, though some scholars and theologians don't take that verse particularly to mean that it's literal. But the scripture does give us a definition for resurrection. And that definition of resurrection helps us to understand when these things occur. So the definition of resurrection is the receiving of a new body. In fact, Job knew about this resurrection. Job himself knew. In Job chapter 19, verses 25 through 27, the scripture says, "But as for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and He will stand upon the earth at last. And after my body has decayed, yet in my body I will see God. I will see Him for myself. Yes, I will see Him with my own eyes. And I am overwhelmed at the thought." So Job there is talking about the old body decaying, yet being able to see God in his body, his physical body. This, of course, is talking about the glorified bodies that we receive. So again, to help you reconcile this, the dead in Christ shall arise first, yes, but they only arise first because they died first. So they're the first ones through the process. This doesn't mean that they're waiting in some what some would call purgatory or Abraham's bosom. This simply means that they enter into the resurrection first. And the resurrection, simply defined by Scripture, is the receiving of that new body. And the Scripture tells us very clearly that when we leave the earthly body, we put on a new, incorruptible, eternal body, the glorified one. So the dead in Christ are the first to the resurrection. We are raptured, and then we receive new bodies. At that point, we will be like Christ. The Scripture says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, "Dear friends, we are already God's children, but He has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He really is." So to clarify the confusion there, the dead in Christ arise first simply because they went through the process first, but this does not mean that they're on hold. This just means that they experience it before we do. So, what does this mean for the believer upon death then? Do they stand in that final judgment on the final day? No. The believer has the privilege, I like to say, or the preferred treatment of facing judgment right upon death. When the ungodly die, they go to the holding place called hell. And the reason I call hell a holding place is because hell is later thrown into the lake of fire, and that is the final destination of the ungodly. And I'll talk about that in a couple weeks when I talk about the final judgment. But right here, I'm talking about the judgment of the church. Now, the judgment of the church is different than the judgment of the unbeliever. Remember, there are two or three different judgments. And this concept of the church being judged is really a concept of reward. This is when we receive our reward for heavenly things. We receive our reward for service to God. So let me just recap where we are here for a second. We talked about creation, the giving of the law, the cross, the resurrection of Jesus, the birth of the church, the rapture. Then after the rapture, of course, there's the seven-year tribulation. And then there's the return of Christ, not to be confused with the rapture. The return of Christ and the battle of Armageddon. Then there is the judgment of the nations, that is the second judgment. Then there is the millennial reign. Then there is the release of Satan and the final battle. Then there is the final judgment. But this judgment of the church is occurring now. When we die, we stand before God, we face judgment, we receive our new bodies, and this has been going on for years, and this will continue to go on until that final day. So since the creation up until now, the godly have been standing before God upon death. Now, not every believer will experience physical death. Those who are raptured will not experience the physical death. And we will all, however, receive new bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 says, "But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed." So going back to Moses and Elijah, they're perfect examples of this. They already went through that process. They already received their glorified bodies. Now, Moses was killed, or he died, and he was buried physically. Elijah ascended, or in essence, he was raptured. So Moses died a physical death, yet received the new body, and Elijah was raptured, yet received the new body. So each existed in a new body, but came by it a different way. In the same way, whether we are raptured or whether we die before then, we will all experience both judgment and the receiving of a new physical body. Now again, our judgment is different than the judgment of the wicked. We're judged by a different standard, and we're not judged for salvation, we're judged for reward. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15 say, "Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each believer has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, the builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through walls of flame." So it says again there, the builder will be saved. So either way, the builder meets that lower standard of just barely making it by salvation. Others will receive a reward on top of that. So we are rewarded for our work. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Now, thankfully, we are covered by the sacrifice of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, that we could be made right with God through Christ." So, just to recap here, I want to bring it all together. We talk about that timeline. We talk about how we're in the age of the church. We talk about the rapture. But remember, there are three different judgments. There is the judgment of the church, which is ongoing. There is the judgment of the nations, which is just before the millennial reign of Christ. And there is the judgment of the wicked, which is the judgment at the very end. We call that the great white throne judgment. Now, there are two resurrections. There's the resurrection of the godly. And again, this is ongoing. When a believer dies, he's resurrected. And then there's the resurrection of the ungodly. They have to wait until that final day when they're called to stand before God. That's when they receive those new bodies. But their new bodies are made not for heavenly things, but for hellish things. And that is a whole other topic on its own. And I know it's a horrific subject to even consider, but it's a reality. So this will help clarify some of the confusion. When you recognize that every believer who dies immediately stands before God and immediately receives their new bodies, then it makes sense in the whole of Scripture. The only scripture that would cause a little bit of confusion would be those scriptures that I read concerning the rapture of the church. And people think, well, does that mean, according to those scriptures, the dead in Christ will rise first? Does that mean that the dead are on hold? No, it does not. It simply means they get there before we do because they died first. Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.